Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You are listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Jaka. This week's episode is very special because I just got back from South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Radio K sent myself, Maddie, who is our music director, and Darby down there. We talked to a bunch of artists, saw a lot of shows, and so I've compiled the best of the interviews. The audio varies from clip to clip, but I'm going to do my best to make it sound as smooth as possible. There'll be very little introduction from me before any of them because there is a lot to cover. Without any further ado, here's this week's episode, which starts right now.
Cool.
Okay, cool. So first, if you want to start by introducing yourself and describing your sound for people who maybe haven't listened to you.
My name is Anna Birch, and I guess I would describe the music as firmly like indie rock, pop rock with maybe some, kind of like alt 90s influence. Maybe a little 60s pop influence. Yeah.
For people who have never been to South by Southwest, how would you describe playing here versus playing like anywhere else?
Oh man, it's just like, it's insane. My anxiety level is at a 9.5 right now. we're like in the thick of it right now on 6th Street. And but it's fun too. Like, it's a great way to see a bunch of bands that I've been like, you know, seeing a ton about and listening to their stuff, and got to see a bunch last night all in one place. So yeah, that's fun, and it's a little hectic, but yeah.
If you could make your perfect lineup, like a show with you and other artists who are here at South By, what would that lineup look like?
Maybe it's tonight. Maybe it's tonight at Cheer Up Charlie's for the Polyvinyl Double Double Whammy Showcase. Hatchie is a band that I'm super excited to see out of Australia. They're playing, Howdy's playing, Post Animal, White Reaper, Jeff Rosenstock. Yeah, all the people. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know we're chatting with Hatchie a little bit later tonight. We're super excited about it. In the vein of sort of like craziness at South by Southwest, what is the like strangest, most thought-provoking, weirdest outfit you've seen here thus far?
Yeah. Sadie Dupuy from Speedy Ortiz was wearing something really incredible yesterday. A designer, I think here in Austin, did it. Okay. And it was like this sort of like sheer skirt and this like amazing like crown type thing. I'm not gonna do it justice because I don't have the vocabulary, but it was incredible. So
good. Yeah. Do you wanna ask some more music?
Yeah, so Quit the Curse is your first album as like a solo artist. How does it compare to like other bands you've performed in and other sort of like musical endeavors you've had so far?
Yeah. Well, I was in like a folk rock band for like 12 years on and off, so just kind of like singing back up and playing bass a little bit. So yeah, it's different being a front person for sure, playing electric guitar. It's fun. Get to be a little louder. It's cool.
Yeah, where do you see your music, your like solo career, or like your career with other musicians going next from here?
Well, I'm like super excited to work on the next thing. I don't know who I'll be collaborating with, but I have some thoughts, and I'm just I don't know where it's gonna go yet, but hopefully I'll be digging into that soon.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty excited to see where it goes.
Have you had any celebrity sightings so far, and is there anybody that you're wanting to see?
Celebrity sightings. The guy from Superchunk who started Merge. What's his name?
Mac.
Mac?
Yeah,
Mac McCon. Mac McCon. Yeah, he walked by last night. I wouldn't have recognized him, but but someone I was with was like, whoa. So that was cool. Who's the Canadian guy that was at the Riot Act show? Did you see him? No, shoot. I can't remember his name, but my friends were all freaking out. I guess I'm somehow immune to celebrity sightings. Everyone around me is freaking out, and I'm just like, eh.
What life advice do you have for our listeners?
Life advice? Oh, wow. Follow your dreams, kids. You know, it's sky's the limit. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm really bad at the advice. Sorry.
And last but not least, we always like to ask if we could get a good yeehaw out of you.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, all right. If you want to start by introducing yourself and describing your sound for people who maybe have never heard you before.
Sure. I'm Harriet, or Hatchie. I guess we're like a dream pop act, if you put it that way.
How would you describe South by Southwest in comparison to other shows you've played?
It's amazing. It's like super, it's almost overwhelming, but it's really exciting. There's so much going on. I think it's the most fun. All of these shows have been really fun. It's like the most fun showcase or festival that we've played. There's like something on every corner. Yeah. Cool people everywhere. It's really fun.
A lot of really cool people.
Yeah.
Speaking of cool people, have you had any celebrity sightings, or are there any people you want to see?
We actually just had a celebrity sighting on the way here, so I'm really glad you mentioned that. I think his name's Ezra. Is it who is in like Perks of Being a Wallflower, and he's the Flash?
Oh yeah, what is his
name? Is it Ezra Miller, or is that someone else? His name's Ezra. Anyway, we saw him on the way here. Yeah, we saw him on the way here, he's really cute. He was getting photos with fans, it was great.
What's the coolest outfit you've seen so far?
I saw somebody, yesterday we played Hotel Vegas, and there were a lot of cool, like, kind of cowboy, cowgirl outfits. We saw someone in, like, assless chaps and just like tiny underpants yesterday. I was just walking around like they were like owning it. Like they looked awesome. It was a female and they looked awesome. That's probably like a lot of cool, weird, like ballsy outfits.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's brave. Really cool. I wish I could wear it.
Yeah.
If you could make your ideal lineup with artists here at South By, who would be on your lineup for a showcase?
Oh my god, definitely Howdy. They're playing like all the same showcases as us and they're awesome. We really like them. We're on the same label. Porches, maybe Pale Waves from the UK. We lined up for like 2 hours to see them the other night and we didn't make it in. So I feel like I would put them on my own showcase just so I could make sure I saw them. Yeah, no, they're probably top three for me, yeah.
Yeah, so you're pretty new to making music under the name Hatchie, and you've kind of like had a cool whirlwind so far with it, getting signed to Double Double Whammy, playing South by Southwest. How has that kind of like gone about? Like, how did you go?
How did you get here? Look, I really don't know. I think it's a lot of good timing and working hard, and also luck. You know, we have a really great manager, really great people working on our team. But yeah, it's been super exciting. It kind of has all fallen into place like in a domino effect. Once you meet one person, then they can introduce you to another person, and it's just like, it's all happened really quickly. It's been really amazing. I really don't know how it happened, if I'm honest.
On a slightly different note, do you have any life advice for our listeners? Anything you could just tell the masses that they should do to live well?
Maybe drink lots of water. And don't
argue with that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm only 24. I don't really have that much life, but I'm still figuring it out myself. Drink lots of water, stress less, live in the now.
And the last thing we ask is, can we get a good yeehaw out of you?
No, you can't.
Not okay. One. Not even a whispered yeehaw.
I'll do it like a yeehaw.
That's fine. Thank
you. I won't go any bigger than that.
Thank you. Why don't you guys start by introducing yourselves and describe your sound for people who maybe have never listened to your music before.
I'm Spencer Joles, one half of Nazim and Spencer Joles. I do production, singing, and rapping.
And I am Nazim, one half of Nazim and Spencer Joles, and I am an MC.
Awesome. So how would you guys describe your sound to people who maybe haven't listened to you before?
It's kind of like, it's mostly hip-hop, but it's kind of a blend of a lot of different genres. Americana, jazz, soul, R&B, rock, folk.
Yeah. I'd say it's like if hip-hop went on a crazy exodus throughout time and music and space.
If you guys had to make like your perfect lineup at South by Southwest with artists that are here, a showcase featuring you guys, who would you put on your showcase?
With artists that are here right now?
Here or maybe otherwise?
Maxo Cream, he's out here, that would be cool. If we could resurrect Amy Winehouse for a show, that would be tight. Erykah Badu if she could do a show.
How would you guys compare playing a show at South By? Like, how is it different than playing a show in Minneapolis? Like, what feels different? What about it is different?
I think it's interesting because, like, since nobody knows who you are, it's very just, like, contextually strange for the audience. And I think we generally have kind of a weird live performance that's, like, cool, but it's very different. So it's just interesting seeing kind of the wonder and surprise on people's faces in a different state.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Last night we had a show at some rooftop and a lot of people were just looking at us like, what on earth is this? But it seemed like they had a good time.
So what is next musically for you two? What do you have any projects in the works? Any big shows coming up?
Yeah, we have a show coming up at Ice House with Christoph Crane for his album release party. And then we also have Greg Grease's release show at Can Can Wonderland. And I think we got a couple other shows. But in terms of music, we have it's like two albums. One's pretty much done. And then we're doing like a cover album that's kind of like in the works, like kind of hip-hopifying like songs that otherwise wouldn't like work with rap.
Like, what kind of songs? Can you let us in on any of them? Like, what kind of songs have you guys made hip-hop that weren't previously?
That's a surprise, but yeah. Just classic soul songs, any type of song, really.
Just like it's unexpected music that like you got a weird cover album for sure.
Is if there was like one artist, or are there any artists from Minneapolis that you really want to collaborate with that you haven't gotten the chance to yet?
Yeah, there's definitely a few. I think doing a song with Greg Grease would be tight. Yeah, Free Wi-Fi would probably be tight. Yeah, there's a bunch of artists that, yeah, I guess like anybody who's like good and interesting. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of people who I don't know out there who are like really amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to do a song with Velvet Negroni. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then the last thing we've been asking all our artists is, if since we're in Texas, if you can give us a good yeehaw into the microphone.
Yee doggy.
That was a yee doggy.
Yeehaw.
That was really good. That was awesome. Introduce what you're part of.
Okay. My name's Sam. I'm in a band called Moniker.
I'm Jonathan. I'm also in said band.
Awesome. So how does playing at South By compare to playing in your hometown or anything like that?
Well, obviously playing in our hometown is a lot less glamorous than traveling to Austin. It's warm. Our hometown is cold. I think South By has really changed since we first played it. It's less about new bands being discovered, like random. It's more about like brands, like getting together with bands, and like, so it's all, it seems a little less like, oh, you're gonna discover this random act. But it still is just, for us, it's just, you know, there's a lot of energy here. There's a lot of different music we got to see and experience, I think.
And so here at home, we play like one show every 3 months. Here we play three shows every one half day. So the ratio's all effed up. And not really in a bad way, because the more you're playing for, the better. But that's a complete difference. It's a total poop show. I'm not going to say the S word on radio.
So there's a lot of very interesting fashion here at South By. What's been the most interesting thing that you've seen so far?
I think it's the surgical mask, the fashion surgical masks I've seen everyone wearing. Which is, whatever, it's cool. It's like, we got Jonathan in a cowboy hat and a bandana for our entire gig. The gigs yesterday for all of them, yeah.
It's like Halloween here, so anything goes, it's all good. It's no big deal.
Have there been any crazy celebrity sightings?
Yes!
Okay, who?
Well, the singer of our band, Matthew, is obsessed with Jeff Goldblum, and I've actually been told that I look like Jeff Goldblum. So he saw him earlier at his hotel, and then we went there to go pick up his stuff, and Jeff was there, and like we're like, should we get a picture? And I really don't want to be that guy, but I definitely took some over-the-shoulder Jeff Goldblum pictures.
But Jeff Goldblum, he can play basketball. He's taller than I thought. He looks tall on camera, but he's even taller in real life.
So Moniker just recently had the song Diamonds featured on the Love, Simon movie. How did that come about for you guys? Was that anything that you guys, how did that come about?
We have a crack publishing team. Rachel Jacobson over at Songs, which is now Cobalt, AWOL. But yeah, they have just been working hard, pushing our stuff. You know, we're not a very well-known band, but we always kind of felt that song had like a nice, like, broad message that could connect to people, and it was nice. It's a really like important movie. It's the first major studio production or release that has a gay teen protagonist, so we're really excited to be a part
and
of
also,
that.
Also, Sam and I grew up as metalhead. We love metal, and two tiers above us on the credits is Warrant. I don't know if you, the 80s metal band. So we're like, it was like an added bonus that we're in good company. We've been waiting all our lives for this.
And so then you guys released an EP in 2016 and then a few singles last year. So what's next for Moniker?
I think we've just been performing a lot and we just need to get back in the studio and write. We've got some ideas. We're tossing around. We might have some really cool collabs coming up that we're in the works. We're gonna keep that on the download right now, but we really want to write more. Like, it's nice to have, you know, when our music gets placed, we're like, oh yeah, we should probably put out more stuff.
Yeah, so how are you guys balancing touring with Dessa, but also continuing to work on Moniker as a band?
It's a tough balance. I mean, it's kind of easy because we forced Dessa to using our setup, so we just kind of leave everything plugged in. We can open for her and be her band, and but it's kind of like, you know, some aspects, like, you know, Jonathan's like changing some of his drum set, and he's like, you know what, this is kind of cool, this will work real well for Moniker, and I play guitar for Dessa, and I'm like, oh, we should do some guitars and Moniker stuff. So I think just the experience of playing with her kind of helps us like get some new ideas for Moniker stuff.
Well, she's extremely like generous and open, and as far as collaboration goes as well. So it's actually a really easy process, and it's cool for us because we also open for her on most of the shows. So it's doing double duty, but it's very streamlined and very like still very relaxed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I saw you guys open up for Dessa at St. Kate's last year?
That was when we met. That's when I met Dessa personally.
We had never met her.
Oh, you were there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you guys, did she ask you up front to be her touring band, or how did that sort of come about?
Well, what basically happened was she was so blown away by our incredible performance that, no, I think that we're all kind of tech heads, and the style of music that Moniker is, she kind of was drawn to sort of the production that we do and the fact we could pull it off live. And because of that, she's like, hey, would you guys ever consider opening up for me and being my band? And we kind of didn't really know what to say. We're like, well, I don't know. But it just kind of worked out, and she was, you know, she's so professional about everything, and she's got some really good tours coming up. And we're like, well, it'd be a great way for us to, you know, get Moniker out in front of people and to just, you know, just tour, you know, we're all friends, stuff like that, and just to be able to tour with an artist that we respect and, like, you know, with some really great songs. So it kind of was just like, why not, you know?
And the St. Kate show just came about because Matt...
There's two questions that we've been asking all the artists. First of all, is what life advice do you have for Radio K listeners, a college-based listenership? What advice do you have for them?
Don't take things personally. When you learn how to not take things personally, I think you can grow up and actually enjoy life a lot more.
Have a good time all the time.
And finally, since we're in Texas and now it's the end of South by, so this has got to be good ones. We've been asking if anybody could give us a good yeehaw.
Yeehaw!
All right, so most of our listeners will know who you are, but why don't you introduce yourself and describe your sound in case anybody hasn't listened to you.
My name is Dessa, and I'm a singer and a rapper and a member of the Doomtree Collective based in Minneapolis.
Awesome. So to start out, what would you say is the difference between playing a show at South By versus playing a show anywhere else?
Man, I think in my experience so far, like the South By set is incomparable to a headliner where people are going to know that, you know, kind of who you are, they're going to be familiar with you. And then even an opener set, you know, you have an understanding generally of like what the stylistic references are of the audience. But at South By, you've got music fans, you've got other bands, you know, you've got other cats with guitars like watching your set. Who are waiting to go on, or who heard your sound walking down 6th Street. And you've also got a lot of press. So it really is this sort of like hyperbolic concentration of music listeners and music industry. Yeah, it's different, I think, than anywhere else.
How do you work to, because you are sort of having to sell yourself here, right? Like you have to, how do you work to balance your new music and your old music? Like what are, do you have go-to songs that you feel like always hit?
Yeah, I mean, not to be too semantic, but I think that any set that you're doing, you're having to sell yourself, whether it's like to convince an existing listener that they still like you, or to convince that existing listener's cousin who they brought to the show that they should like you. That said, as far as song selection, I am aware of the fact that I have a new record out and I'd like to play those songs. They're recently written, so I'm passionate about them. And also, I'd like to introduce them to people. But more than that, it feels like you read the room. So like today, I know I'm playing at 10 p.m., and it's a weekend. And it's St. Patrick's Day. This is not the day to do a song that asks a lot of patience, that has a slow build, right? This is the day to go in and go hard. So I made two sets before we hit stage, and then I picked which one to play based on the feeling in the room.
So there's a lot of very interesting, thought-provoking fashion choices here at South By. What's been the most interesting fashion choice you've seen at South By?
I know the answer to this immediately. Like, every year, you know, you see some continuity between, whether it's like skinny jeans, and I participated in that trend, so I'm not hating on it. Or like, you know, when people started shaving the sides of their heads, to when people started wearing glasses with no lenses in them. Like, this year, absolutely, hands down, it's fashion surgical masks.
That's what the guys from Moniker said too.
It's because I pointed that out to them.
Have you had any crazy celebrity sightings here at South By?
I think like everybody else, I've seen either Ethan Hawke or Jeff Goldblum. You get one or the other, but infrequently do you get both. I got Ethan Hawke.
So Chime just came out, and along with that, you also just announced another show with the Minnesota Orchestra coming up in October. Is that going to feature songs from Chime, or is that going to be sort of similar setup to the last one?
Working with the orchestra does feel like a different magnitude of not just concert but event. You know, it's this opportunity to make a really like ambitious custom show. So that's what I'm hoping to do this year. There will be songs from Chime, the new one, but there'll also be older songs, and I'm hoping to debut some new stuff too.
Already on to new stuff, and you just came out Chime.
I haven't written it yet, so we'll see if that's real.
And you have your book coming out in September. How does the writing in your book compare to the writing of your music? Are the voices there similar, or do you feel like you have distinct voices when you write essays versus when you write music?
I think they're similar but distinct, yeah. I mean, I think I've always been enamored with and fascinated by language, you know? So it's almost like I enjoy a really well-turned phrase or a really like clever sentence almost more than I enjoy like a really great storyline. Like, I've never been as moved by plot as I am by a paragraph. So I think in both, I think there's probably like a concentration on flipping, like double meanings and images, you know, compelling imagery. But I find it a lot easier to be funny in prose, whereas I think it's something to do with the constraint of, like, you're not really on the gas as far as timing. You don't get to control that variable in songwriting because there's a tempo to it here too, and the thing is only three and a half minutes. Whereas you can make these kind of like divergences and departures in prose to go off and chase a joke and then come back to the main plot line without missing a beat. So yeah, I'd say that's a difference.
So you said you're really enamored by language. Is there a certain line or a verse that you're proudest of on the new album?
I mean, yeah, that also feels like insanely self-celebratory to be like, my favorite line on my album. That's insane. But yeah, I'm proud of some of the writing on the song from whence the album title comes, that song Velodrome. It's tricky to write a rap song about free will and then to set that in a velodrome, which is a cyclist training track, and to not make it sound like, here I am writing a song, you know, like, to not make it sound hokey or contrived. And I think that song comes off as honest and spirited, which is how it felt to write. But that's hard to do with really, like, there's some kind of rarefied ideas there. And it felt really good to make it into a pop song that could hold its own.
Not gonna lie, I had to look up what a velodrome was when that song came out, and I was gonna like look on Google Trends and be like, has the search for velodrome gone up? Because I feel like I didn't know what that was.
And to be totally clear, like the only reason I knew was because I had dated a bike messenger for a while. So I just want to be like, it's not like a common word, but when he told me, I was like, wow, what a cool sounding word. And I just was sort of surprised there was a name for one of those. Anyway, it's like the track where cyclists train that have like those pitched bowls, you know? Yeah, it's cool.
So what advice would you have for new artists who are coming to South By, how to make the best of their time, how to network the best possible?
It's a super good question, and I feel like it's one that I'm still refining my approach. But I would say that one of the mistakes that young artists, any artist, can make that's particularly graceless is to write people off, to say, oh, there's only 20 people here. Or you can tell when artists are checking to see what kind of badge another person has, to say, well, you don't count. People count, you know? And right now, I'm talking to Radio K. And Radio K has been super kind for a long time to Doomtree. But I would not be very surprised if the person who's holding the microphone works in the DC office of NPR in the next 5 years. Like, people count. And not just because they can help you, but because they came to watch you perform. So don't phone it in. And the number one thing is, like, don't be mean to the sound tech. It doesn't look good. It's not nice. And it plays like you're a spoiled little brat.
Yeah, I got to watch you, like, sort of, like, direct the sound check at the current thing like a boss. Like, you have that down to a science at this point. And
it's so easy to ask. I mean, usually it's pretty easy to ask, like, hey, what's your name, man? So that you're not like, yo, sound guy, turn me up. What a stupid sentence to hear 18 times. If you're in the crowd, like, all you are is creating their first impression of you as a performer is this person has an enemy whose name she hasn't bothered to learn. That's a lousy first impression, you know?
So one of the things we've been asking all the artists is, just generally for Radio K listeners, what life advice do you have?
Probably related to the sound tech thing, but I have been surprised, and pleasantly surprised, about how much and how often people really want to help nice people. I make music I'm proud of, and I'm lucky in that it's been distributed widely enough that some people really like it and they promote it to their friends because they like it. But also, there are people who don't really like my music who say, you know what, she seems decent and she tries to be kind and I'd like to help her. And I think that about people all the time, you know, like, even if they're not making stuff that's exactly my lane or it isn't exactly the kind of thing I'm going to bump when I'm driving around, like, you seem rad and kind and like a stand-up guy or girl, and I want to be part of that. I want to be a force that promotes that. And it's funny how much of your professional life is determined by that, and your personal life. Like, being good counts for way more than I... Nice guys don't finish last, man. It matters.
And so the last thing we've been asking every artist, everybody I've interviewed so far, since we're in Texas, can you give me a good yee-haw?
Oh no. Yee-haw.
That is all for this week's episode of Real College Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Real College Podcast is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and its production of Radio K. It's produced by Alex Schumacher, Liv Riggins, and Ben Hallam, who is one of our new producers. Congrats to Ben. You can catch all our other episodes at radiok.org/Real College Podcast, and make sure you tune in every Monday for more arts and cultural coverage.